95.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1, Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1, Mission Viejo. A service of California State University, Northridge, and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.
Hey, I'm Carmel Holt, and welcome to She Rose Radio, a space that was created to turn up the volume of women's voices and gender expansive folks in song and conversation. We're here not only to amplify, but multiply those voices that you may not even be aware you're missing, but are still not heard in equal numbers on the airwaves and in music. So we get together each week for an hour of songs and interviews featuring the trailblazers and the new visionaries across genres, generations, and identities, hosted, produced, and powered by women and queer folks. To quote Gloria Steinem, revolutions come from combining what exists into what has never existed before. This radio revolution starts now.
Get me all worked up like that. tender way. Stand up for me. Flirt with me, don't keep hurting me. Don't cause me pain. Be my lover, don't play no game. Just play me John Coltrane. Constantly, I know you're the man, can't you say? I love you righteously. Why you wanna diss me after the way you've been kissing me? After those pretty things you say, and the love we made today. When you run your hand all up and run it back down my leg, get excited and bite my neck, get me all worked up like that. Think this will lay it down for you. Mine, you're entirely way too fine. Arms around my waist, you get a taste of how good this can be. Be the man you ought to tenderly. Stand up for me. Flirt with me, don't keep hurting me. Don't cause me pain. Be my lover, don't play no game. Just play me John Coltrane.
Mama,
Blues legend Etta James would have been 85 January 25th, and wishing Lucinda Williams the happiest birthday on Thursday, January 26th. It's a big one. She turns 70 this year. If you missed our Sheroes interview, check that out in the archives at sherosradio.com/episodes. And with that, I welcome you, friends, to Sheroes Radio. I'm your host, Carmel Holt. It's so great to see you as always, as together we turn up the volume of women's voices in song and conversation for the next hour. Coming up, it's this week's featured interview with UK black feminist punk band Big Joni. Stay tuned for that. And now I'm beyond excited to share the news, if you haven't heard already, that the duo Everything But The Girl is back with their first album in over 20 years. It's called Fuse. It'll be out in April. And here's the first single, It's Nothing Left To Lose, on Sheroes Radio.
I need a thicker skin. This pain keeps getting in. Tell me what to do, 'cause I've always listened to you. And I'm here at your door, and I've been here before. Tell me what to do, 'cause nothing works without you.
We ain't done. Come on and touch the rays. Open up. long. Baby, when it's on, you get so lost. You can't handle me. You love it when I'm coming on strong. I saw you play it off for more than you're on.
One of the most anticipated new releases of the new year is Kalayla's first album in nearly 6 years. Her sophomore effort is called Raven, and that was On the Run. And speaking of anticipation, how thrilling to have new music from Everything But the Girl to spin for you this week. Nothing Left to Lose is the first taste of their new album, Fuse, which will be out on April 21st, their first in 24 years. I'm Carmel Holt. Next up, it's our featured interview with a UK black feminist punk trio, Big Joni. Stay with me.
Download the SoCal Sound mobile app and listen wherever life takes you.
If one of your New Year's resolutions is to become a new SoCal Sound subscriber with just $5 monthly and 3 minutes of your time, this is one resolution that's easy to keep. Plus, you'll listen with a deeper appreciation and have the benefits of membership all year long. Subscribe now. It's super easy online at thesocalsound.org/support.
Support for 88.5, the SoCal Sound, comes from Musichead Gallery. Opened in 1998, it is home to over 80 photographers. Musichead Gallery displays classic and unseen images of musicians from every era and every type of music, plus original concert posters, books, and art prints. Located on Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, the gallery hosts a variety of events, including book signings, exhibitions, and concerts. More information at musichead.com. Musichead Gallery. Passion for music.
Out with the old, in with the new. If you have an unused vehicle that's been taking up space in your driveway or garage, the SoCal Sound will take it off your hands. It's free to you, and vehicle donations may be tax deductible. We'll use the proceeds to continue presenting the music you rely on. It's easy to get started. Donate your vehicle today at thesocalsound.org/support or call 877-527-6123. Thanks to Linda Colsis, Daniel O'Connell, Donald and Emily Brink, and Eileen Womer for your recent vehicle donations.
No commercials means more music. Listener powered, member supported. 88.5 The SoCal Sound.
You're listening to She Rose, and I'm Carmel Holt. There must be something in the air, as this is the second week in a row that we have a trio in the She Rose spotlight, and I am so here for it. This week, it's a UK band that have been at it for the better part of a decade, and with a new record deal with the iconic indie label Kill Rock Stars, they join a trailblazing lineage of bands like Bikini Kill and Sleater-Kinney. But as our guests will point out in today's conversation, something that the Riot Girl movement and DIY punk overall has sorely been lacking in is not only women, but even more so women of color. Big Joni is here to lead the charge in changing that narrative. Back in 2013, frustrated with a lack of intersectionality in the DIY punk scene she was in, guitarist and songwriter Stephanie Phillips put up a post online looking for bandmates to start a black feminist punk band. Drummer and vocalist Shadeen Taylor Stone joined soon after, along with their first bassist, and Big Joni was born. The debut EP Sista Punk arrived in 2014, and a couple years later, their current bassist, Estella Adieri, joined the band. Outside of Big Joni, Stephanie's a freelance music writer and activist. Estella works with Girls Rock London and is part of the collective behind Decolonize Fest with Stephanie. And Shadeen chairs the Equalities Commission at Musicians Union, is a prominent voice in the LGBTQ community, and is working on a book about black feminism. In other words, Big Joni is changing the world. With their sophomore album and Kill Rock Stars debut Back Home just out in November of 2022, and their first U.S. tour starting up in March, I'm thrilled to welcome Big Joni as this week's She Rose in the Spotlight. Big Joni, welcome to She Rose Radio. Great to have you all here.
Hey. Thanks for having us.
Hello.
So we have Stephanie, Estella, and Shadeen here with us. We'll start with Shadeen. Can you tell us what you play and a little bit about your background, how you got into Big Joni?
Yeah, so I play stand-up drums in Big Joni, and I got into Big Joni because I met Steph at a black feminist meeting, and she'd put a post out about wanting to start a black punk band, and I'd replied, and that was back in 2013, and here we are today.
Well, Steph is up next, and I guess you're the one that started this whole train rolling. Happy 10th anniversary to you.
Yeah. It's a band that I always wanted to exist when I was a teenager, a band that's representing black women and black women in punk, and it not being seen as a contradiction, but as something that's actually meant to be and really goes together. It's amazing to be a part of that.
And Estella, when did you come into the group?
I joined Big Joni in January 2017. So I was like a fan of the band before I joined, and we like played in the same DIY punk scene. So I play bass in the band and do some backing vocals. Yeah, when their first bassist, Kira, left London, that's when I joined the band.
So talk to us a little bit about the beginnings, and maybe, Steph, that would be a good question for you. Take us to that moment when you put the ad out.
So it was for an event called First Timers, and it was about getting more people from marginalized backgrounds to get into music, and every band that formed to play their first show at First Timers. So it was a really unique and special event. But yeah, when I put up a post, I don't know what I was expecting really. I asked if anyone wanted to join a black punk band, and it was quite popular, and it was nice that people really wanted it to exist. And Shadeen like replied more or less immediately, and then DM'd me after and was sent me a list of different bands. And I was like, oh, all these bands are really cool. So
what were the bands?
It was like the Pastels, Jesus and Mary Chain in there, kind of a lot of C86 bands based around the idea of drumming, standing up. That was our thing from when we started. And yeah, I just thought, oh, this is definitely something I want to do. And that means I can be a Black punk and actually be represented in that and not have to feel lesser in any different way. So yeah, it was a spur of the moment thing. But once we got that space of being like Black women in a space and being able to create and do whatever we want in that, I think that's a really inviting thing.
Did you play in bands before?
Yeah, I did. I played in one band before. I started when I was about like 22 on the punk scene. It was like a feminist punk band called My Therapist Says Hot Damn, which is a very long name and hard to say. I was in that band for like 2 years before Big Joni started. And it was a really cool band and really kind of taught me how to play. But then I felt like I couldn't really bring my own songs to that band. So the idea of like starting something else was formed then.
You said something about not having to feel lesser than. Is that a feeling that you or anyone else in the band had before the three of you coalesced into Big Joni?
Well, for me, I feel like there was a feeling of not being able to have the whole of your identity in one space in the punk scene, and to be Black was to be other in some ways, or it was hard to kind of talk about everything in one space. So having with Joni, we can just be our full selves and be political and be proud of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny one with punk scenes, because obviously people, there's a lot of kind of anti-racist sentiment within punk scenes as well. But I think it just in general, it is a microcosm of a wider society as well. So even though I couldn't say I experienced anything sort of explicit, there was always like microaggressions, which I think just like those space of where, you know, like Steph said, it is like you have to put one part of your identity aside and then having to be your Black self in another space.
Right. And I know you did DJing before Black Joni. Were you also in other bands as well?
No, I wasn't. I was very much involved in the 50s rock and roll scene. So I used to put on club nights and DJ on that scene. So yeah, more on that side, really just being a music record collector.
And what about you, Estella? Where were you at in your musical journey when you joined Big Joni?
Yeah, when I joined Big Joni, I was playing in a few other DIY bands. But I first started playing in like bands at school that obviously weren't like real bands that were doing much. I'd got my first guitar when I was like 13. So I started off playing guitar before I played bass. So yeah, when I met Big Joni, I think I was still playing guitar in my old band, Junk, like that I'd also started around, I think 22 or 23, started after uni. And then yeah, I'd come back to London and had played in other DIY bands there, like Witching Waves, I was playing bass in, and briefly drummed in this band called Dirty Girl. So yeah, I was just like on that scene, and that's how I would see Steph and Shadeen at gigs and things.
I would love to play something from the new record. Who wants to choose a track to go to first?
I would probably say Your Words.
Okay.
Because I love the synth on it.
I wrote Your Words on a bus in Battersea going to work every day a couple of years ago. And I guess it's about a destructive relationship, but it's not from my life. It's just imagining the idea of having no power in a situation, or kind of feeling like you can't break out of a relationship.
Big Joni here with us on She Rose Radio. The new album is called Back Home. It's their debut for Kill Rock Stars and their sophomore full-length album. We were getting the backstory, everyone's individual histories of joining Big Joni. And maybe this question I could start with Estella, who got a guitar when you said you were 13, mm-hmm. right? And moved over to bass. It is still pretty uncommon, though less uncommon now, for girls to start on guitar and definitely not on bass. And I wanted to talk to you just a little bit about what that was like.
Yeah, I was quite lucky, I think, because my family were quite supportive of me or my sisters doing anything musical, because my parents really enjoyed that. So like my mum had played like piano, accordion growing up and continued a bit in her later life. And my dad had played piano and also done some little bits of like DJing back in Nigeria and stuff when he was young. So me and my sister had like the same piano teacher as kids. And then I'd done like clarinet at school, but my sister had already played drums as a teenager. So we already had one doing something like a bit unusual, or like was just seen as unusual for this teen girl to be wanting to play drums. I think my parents didn't really know where that came from, but they were supportive of it. So my sister Vicky had introduced me to like alternative music. And so I remember initially I wanted to play saxophone because it can be a good instrument to play after clarinet. But then I heard alternative music and I was like, oh no, I want to get a guitar. And then she was getting a bass as well. So it didn't seem like something that I couldn't do because I already had a sister who did it. And similarly, she played in bands at uni when she was like 18 drumming. So I'd already seen specifically that it was something that I could do. And I think it was only like later on actually realizing that you're told in all these different ways that you can't, but it was like Vicky's done it, so obviously I could do it as well. It's just like all the small ways where people are like, you're not expected to play the guitar or to want a particular Fender, or like I'd see bands, there's always this expectation that the boys would play guitar and the girls would sing, for example. It's like, but I can't really sing and I like play guitar, so that doesn't make sense.
And you're involved with Girls Rock London now, which is such an amazing organization.
Yeah, I think it's super important. They always talk about, like you said, the kind of messages that you receive as a young person that can really affect that period of your life where you're changing so much. So yeah, if you're constantly being told that someone who looks like you isn't the person who does the sound tech, for example, or like plays the drums, or like the ways that you can be diminished as a young woman, I think in particular, I think it's really important to have things like Girls Rock intervene at those times and show you that you're not limited by your gender or anything in any way.
And I think it's really important for bands like Big Joni to exist. Representation matters so much. And I think about the Riot Girl movement and Bikini Kill and what that did during that time, and how you're leading that charge now for women of color in the DIY punk scene.
Yeah. I mean, I think there are quite significant differences between what we do and the Riot Girl movement, I think. And it was a particularly middle-class, college-educated, white movement. And for, you know, what we're doing or what Steph and Acilla do with Decolonize, for example, it's a much more broad in terms of the sort of demographic of who can participate. Because I think often when we're talking about gender, we often forget about class. And we forget that, you know, some people don't have space for drum kits and all that sort of thing.
Right.
And that means that's another barrier that some people face. My own particular background, I mean, I grew up quite poor, so there was nothing. That is the experience of a lot of people of colour. So that is also, I think, why when we're talking about the music that we make, there are issues around access to actually even having the instruments in the first place and having the space to make noise, because a lot of people don't. So if you're living in a council flat, which I guess in the States you would call the projects, for example, just the physicality of those things, where would you go to make those things? And I think that is why we do see people doing things on Ableton and stuff like that, because they can do it in a small space. So it's quite interesting for us as a community to see how we meld like those sort of genres where we've been forced to sort of make things in a small space compared to sort of having the big things. And I think now that's one of the issues that we are seeing broadly, I think, just in sort of indie and alternative music, is that we are seeing mostly bands coming out who are from quite comfortable backgrounds, because frankly, they're the only people that can actually do it now. So yeah, I think those are things that we try to talk about a bit more. And I think it is the next stage that Riot Girl started. And we wouldn't be here without those people doing what they were doing. But we do need to expand the conversation beyond just gender as well in that sense.
Absolutely. Yes. And I mean, it's the same thing for feminism, you know, to take a much broader look at what feminism means and intersectionality and be very, very cognizant of that and do our own work. Do you want to talk about how feminism and intersectionality is part of the work that you do?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we're all feminists. It makes up everything that we do, but then I don't know if we need to put it in the lyrics or in the songs in that way. But I think it's more in terms of how we approach, how we form our team and trying to work mostly with women, supporting female-fronted bands or all-women bands, as well as people of colour in the music industry, trying to bring more people that aren't straight, cis, white men, because they're always here anyway.
Big Joni's here with us on She Rose Radio. The new album is called Back Home. One of my favourite songs on the album is I Will.
That's nice. I like that one. I Will was written as a song lamenting on the idea of never having a proper home or a home that's kind of stable and a place where you're able to fully put down roots. When I was living in London, I felt like every rented flat or every rented room felt like it could disappear within a month. And so when you're living in that state, you're always at a level of high anxiety. And I Will was about trying to break out of that kind of way of thinking and become a bit more radical in our approach to housing.
Big Joni's here with us on She Rose Radio. The new album is called Back Home, and that's I Will. So I wanted to talk to you about the double-edged sword of putting yourself forward in this way of wanting to be the change that you want to see, and whether or not you feel like tokenism ever gets in the way of getting that across.
No, totally. I mean, it's a bit of a double bind in some ways, because obviously we're very vocally, we are Black women, we are a Black feminist punk band. But then also on the flip side, that can also become its own sort of cage in a way where people are like, oh, you are this, you know, you're not sort of part of the sort of legacy of Bikini Kill or Sleater-Kinney, which is, you know, how we would love to see ourselves, but and a lot of people see us as that as well, because those women are white. So I think sometimes, you know, we can be victims of tokenism because people want to sort of like diversify their bill, which is a good thing. They should be doing that. But I think it's really trying to sort of break through that white imagination of really a kind of like white guilt, I think, in a way. We're trying to see you as a Black person, but also to actually recognize the craft that is that you're doing at the same time. And I think people struggle to do those two things at once. So often you might get a kind of white savior type thing where it's, oh, you know, helping out this band, we're doing this, et cetera, et cetera. But then there will still be a kind of paternalistic kind of attitude to what you make. So it's that kind of unconscious bias that we often need to deal with, where it is that paternalistic, oh, we're doing you a favor, but actually we also don't recognize that you have achieved things which are incredible regardless of your race or your gender within the genre that we're in.
I find that when you're talking about women in music too, speaking of Sleater-Kinney, like, I don't think that they wanted to do this show because it was focusing on women. And I couldn't blame them, because they don't want to be boxed in, nor should they be after all this time. But at the same time, until the playing field is leveled, until there's normalization around all of these things, don't we also need to say it loud and proud?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for us, it's like walking that fine line where, you know, it's like we need more women of color and people of color in the genre to be getting platforms, etc. But then also, sometimes we do just want to talk about pedals and guitars and how we work in the studio like any other bands.
Right. Instead of what's it like to be a woman in music and what's it like to be a Black feminist punk band? Exactly. Estella, I haven't heard from you for a while. Do you want to chime in about any of this? You're nodding your head.
Yeah, I think I do understand that difficulty of not wanting to be, like you said, pigeonholed as a woman in music. But then at the same time, it's like you're never seen as the default of a band is five white guys yelling and playing guitars on stage. And then people are like, oh yeah, that must be a punk band or rock band or something. And then turning up places and people not assuming that you're in the punk band that's going to play tonight instead. Or just things like that. We do have to constantly state that we're a Black feminist punk band, partly because it's just like a very plain way to say exactly who we are. We're Black feminists, make punk music. But just because it's still seen as something that's not the norm or not the default, even though punk has such a political origin. But yeah, it's still seen as we're some sort of weird
anomaly
that people just happen to like us, and not because we sit within, as Shadeen referred to earlier, this quite clearly traceable lineage of bands who clearly listened to the Raincoats. Shadeen started talking to Steph because she saw she had a Raincoats tape bag. And we supported Bikini Kill and the Raincoats at that gig. Like, if you know anything about our scene, it's a very clear, direct line from those bands to us. But I think some people are still kind of unwilling to see it. More so, I'd say, in the industry and perhaps some areas of the music press than actual music fans and listeners. People who listen to us can actually connect those dots. But the industry is still very conservative in its expectations.
And because so many of the gatekeepers are still cis white men.
Basically, yeah. You know, even as lineups continue to diversify, it's like if you start looking at labels or booking agencies, all that kind of area, again, sound, lighting, and production, all the people in charge tend to be white cis men, almost like laughably interchangeable. So it's just like, of course, things aren't going to change if it's like the same old guard kind of holding it down the whole time.
And I think particularly with that sort of old guard, rock and roll is about fantasy, isn't it? So it's either they want to fantasize about being the person in the band, or they want to fantasize about being with the woman in the band. And, you know, if you're not fitting into those two fantasies, then you're kind of irrelevant, basically. They don't know how to connect sometimes through other means, other than through their own egos, really.
So true. So you are proudly out there identifying yourselves as a Black feminist punk band, but we've just gone through several minutes of talking about how the industry is so still dominated by cis white men. How do you all navigate that? How do you stay positive and keep doing what you're doing? What is that experience like? What is it like being a Black feminist punk band?
How to get it.
You know, we've tried to curate the kind of people that we want to see more in the industry. I think just naturally through always being who we are, we've drawn people to us that are similar to us and have a similar kind of outlook. But I think once you get out of our little bubble, and definitely once we got out of the DIY scene, dealing with that everyone is the same kind of straight cis white men type thing, was quite unusual, because it does feel like they've just have a completely different worldview, a different way of seeing and hearing things that is maybe filtered through ego or through their own lack of understanding, maybe. But yeah, trying to convince some man that we deserve the same amount of respect as any random bunch of white dudes can be quite frustrating, and it does feel like a bit pointless sometimes, really.
So how do you all navigate that?
I don't know. We have a good team. I think it's good that we have management now that can push for those things for us before. Because I think, I don't know if people were necessarily listening to us before. So now we have managers that can be a bit more demanding. I think that's helped, kind of having the right people to help support us.
I think having the right team is definitely key. I'm hearing that from you. It's like crafting the team basically from the ground up. And again, whether the intention is for your own well-being or to make a statement or both, it does help in terms of what people are seeing when you're moving through the world as a touring band or going to the studio or who's showing up to set up your press. It definitely does help because it's shifting that narrative of who ends up being those people in charge.
Yeah, definitely. It brings a different energy to these rooms, and it means we can kind of bring people with us that deserve to be in those spaces, because there are so many people that could do all of these jobs that maybe don't get the chance because it's hard to get experience. People don't always give people a paid internship to become like a roadie or a sound person. So bringing people along on our team and trying to work with people in that way, I think can be a little revolutionary act within this kind of wider industry.
Absolutely. And you worked again with Margot Broom on this album, speaking of your team.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about working with her and how this album might be the next progression for Big Joni sonically?
We worked with Margot on the first album and we just work really well with her. You know, it's not many women producers around. So I think a bit like what Steph was saying before, it's like, who do we work with and who do we feel comfortable with and who's got our best interests at heart? And I think often when you're a new band, you know, maybe your management will come in and go, you're going to go with this like big name producer, but actually end up having a horrible experience. Whereas our experience with Margot has always been a good and sort of creatively collaborative one as well. I think the sort of sounds and just the kind of expansiveness of this album has really come from our experiences of playing on big stages with bigger bands.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking at what they're doing, how they build their sound up. So coming from a very sort of DIY scene, it's amazing, but also can be weirdly quite conservative in how it thinks things should be. You know, you only have one amp here. After that, it gets sort of like, oh, you're being too commercial or something. But when you go and see like a band like The Gossip or something who come from essentially the same scene as us, and you see their live stage setup and they've got synths here, they've got a bassist when there's no bassist on the records. They've got, you know, it's creating a different vibe on that stage for that crowd. It's creating a performance so people can engage with you and what you want to say. So it's taking that energy and putting that in the record. So we started playing around drum machines, synth sounds, double layering in the sort of middle of like sounds that you don't actually realize are happening, but that's what makes a record sound fuller. And then also like experimenting with reprise as well that we have In My Arms, which I think we originally were wanting to put out as like a separate, almost like a B-side or 60s like version, but it was so good. It seemed to make sense to put it in the album to sort of bring a kind of narrative arc in the album. And I think people really respond to that really well. So kind of getting back into the craft of making an album as an album as in itself.
Big Joni here with us on She Rose, and the new album is called Back Home. Steph, Estella, and Shadeen, it's been so awesome to hang out with the three of you. And I know we talked a lot about issues and not the record. And if there's anything else that you want to talk about, I want to just open it up. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you would love to say?
I mean, it's really exciting times. There's so many amazing people of color bands that are coming out at the moment, and I hope that when people see our own journey, that what we've done and how we've managed to achieve what we've done, and that other people feel that they can do it too.
Definitely.
And, you know, that doing your own tours and all that kind of stuff, it is doable. Just sometimes it might take some people a little bit longer than others. But I do feel, you know, we've been around, like I said, for almost 10 years now. And I can see already the space from when, you know, a band starts like ours to when maybe they get their record deal and whatever has become much smaller. So I'm glad that we opened up those doors for people.
Absolutely. And I'll add to that, too, that I love that you're creating this space in this genre. I'm seeing like it reminds me of what's been happening a little bit in Americana and in country here, you know?
So cool. I do love the whole shiny American country music thing. Cause it's quite big in the Caribbean.
Uh-huh.
So like, I just love all the hats and the glitziness of it and everything. Me and Estella, when we were in Nashville, we went to the Country Hall of Fame and we saw just like at the end, the sort of diversity in country expanding and the representation there, which is really exciting. So it's great. I think it's happening across all different genres that people have seen as being quite monocultural.
Yeah.
I did have one other thing to say. We will be doing our first US tour in 2023. So we'll be going to the West Coast in March and the East Coast in May. So yeah, really exciting to, you know, finally be on this US label and actually get to tour properly. Like people have been asking us to come over for a long time. So hopefully everybody will come and see us. Should be really good.
Hell yeah. Big congratulations to Big Joni. Thank you for being here Shiro's. What should we go out with today?
Maybe Happier Still. It's just a banger.
I want to feel...
With thanks once again to Big Joni. Thank you for being here on Shiro's.
Thanks.
Many thanks once again to Big Joni for being with us. The new album, Back Home, is out now on Kill Rock Stars. And be sure to catch them on their first U.S. tour, which starts in March. Next, we close the hour celebrating another Shiro birthday when Shiro's Radio continues.
Let's explore the eclectic range of melodies, sounds, and influences from the Latin music scene right here on the SoCal Sound, Monday through Friday from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. My name is Byron Gonzalez, the host of Bilingual Sounds, a nightly show where I showcase new music from up-and-coming musicians and lovable songs from established bands from all over Latin America, as well as the Latin community here in the States. Join me on Bilingual Sounds, Monday through Friday, 10 p.m. to 11 p.m.
It's Shiro's Radio, and I'm Carmel Holt wishing Sean Marshall, a.k.a. Cat Power, a very happy birthday on Saturday, January 21st, going to her most recent album, Covers, which came out just about exactly a year ago, where she reimagined and covered herself a song called Hate from the 2006 album The Greatest, now updated as Unhate.
There's no place to hide. There's no laws or rules to enchain your life.
Recent Shiro's guest, Danielle Ponder, and so long from her incredible debut, Some of Us Are Brave. Check out that conversation if you missed it in the archives at shirosradio.com/episodes or listen to the podcast wherever you get yours. Also sending birthday wishes to Shawn Marshall. Hers is on January 21st from her latest Cat Power album, Covers. We heard Unhate. That does it for this week's edition of Shiro's Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in wherever you may be listening. Together, let's keep turning up the volume. Shiro's Radio is produced by me, is mixed and mastered by Kelly Drake. We get production assistance from Emma Philippos. Our original theme music is by Lucius. Visit shirosradio.com, support the show with Patreon, and head to the Shiro shop for merch. Shiro's is a podcast. Hear our interviews on the Talkhouse Podcast Network, available wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and keep in touch on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Carmel Holt, or find us at Shiro's Radio. Until next time, remember, music is our superpower. I'm Carmel Holt. Thanks so much for listening.
88.5 FM, KCSN, and KCSN HD1 Northridge, Los Angeles. KSBR and KSBR HD1 Mission Viejo. A service of California State University Northridge and Saddleback College. Member-supported public radio. Streaming on the web at thesocalsound.org.